The Guardian.
Bob Dylan's second album, 1963's The Freewheeling Bob Dylan, included socially conscious songs such as Blowin' in the Wind and A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. They propelled Dylan from New York's tight-knit folk music scene to a wider audience. The intimate photograph on the album's cover depicted the 21-year-old singer walking through a wintry Greenwich village with his then 18-year-old girlfriend Susie Rotolo. Well, 45 years later, Susie Rotolo, Dylan's close companion and muse, is telling her story in a new book.
The cover photograph of Freewheeling, it's become such a symbol that to actually recall what that day was like and what the circumstances surrounding it were like was odd, because I almost felt as if I'd betray something by describing what it was like, because it meant so much for so many people. But then a good story is a good story, and it just unfolded rather casually. There were no pictures of Bob Dylan on file at Columbia Records, now Sony, and at that time they had staff photographers, and Don Hunstein was a staff photographer, and he was told to go down to this apartment in the village and take some pictures, possibly for a record album cover, but just to have some pictures of this young man who's a rising star, if they even said it that way. And he came in this little apartment and began taking pictures of Bob. He'd say, sit here, pick this up, hold the guitar, put it down. And then he pointed to me and said, you sit with him or stand around. And it was all very casual. Nothing was planned. And at those years, most album covers were staged and very austere or stylized. In this case, it was extremely informal. Someone ought to know, give credit to that art director who chose the cover for the album, because it was really breaking with tradition. The photographer told us, well, let's go outside. And it was a snowy, cold winter day, and it was afternoon, so there wasn't much light. And he said, walk around, and we did. And it was freezing, really freezing. After all these years, it's easy to see that if you look closely. Our noses are red, and we're huddled into each other, more to keep warm than anything else.
Well, your book is not only just the story of you and Bob Dylan, but it's also the story of Greenwich Village in the 1960s. And the folk music scene and civil liberties activism went very much hand in hand at that time, didn't they?
Exactly. They certainly did. It was all of a piece. And at that time, the rebellious music, if that's the right word, was folk music, because it dealt with from an earlier generation in the 1930s from the Great Depression. And it was Woody Guthrie who was a spokesperson and Pete Seeger. And the folk music that was starting to happen in the 1960s was beginning to write music about the time the folk musicians were living in, and Bob was at the beginning of that. I think he was one of the first who began writing about his own time, instead of just, which everyone was doing, was either singing the traditional songs in a traditional manner or singing the old union songs of Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger. It suddenly became, well, we're living now. I don't know whether it was conscious or not, but people began writing about their own time in the tradition of Woody Guthrie, but Bob kind of broke through that. And very much in his songs from that period are really timeless, because they had a universal tone to them. They weren't just newspaper articles written in rhyme.
And you yourself were a big inspiration for many of Bob Dylan's early songs. I mean, how is it for you now to listen to those songs? I mean, you find it painful to listen to them.
It's not painful. I find it odd, because they're very much songs coming out of his life, and certainly my life, what was going on in those years. But they're also his ability as an artist to make them, as any writer does, you take from your life and you alter it to fit the song you're writing or what it is you're writing. So they're not literal songs, and I hate it when Dylanologists want to dissect the song. I mean, an example is Boots of Spanish Leather, which it's such a perfect example of the story that I was in Italy then, not in Spain, and it has nothing to do with Spanish boots. You follow? So it's, I think it's a perfect example showing an artist at work He takes a situation, an emotional story, and makes a ballad out of it, makes a song out of it that tells another story but reflects the emotion.
You say in the book that Françoise Gillot's book, Life with Picasso, gave you an insight into your own situation.
Yes, I came across it. I was living in Italy then. I came across this book, and I read it because I loved Picasso, and I thought I'd read about Picasso, and instead it was like a book of revelations. It was just the personality, Picasso's personality, sense of entitlement, and just at the end of his hand was a brush, just made me think of Bob Dylan, and as he was, just completely focused on what he was doing, and everything else be damned, in a good sense too, in a bad sense, in a good sense, but it was remarkably like, even though he was an older man, Picasso, and had experienced much more, it just, to me, it was just the same personality.
You describe Bob Dylan as a beacon and a black hole. Could you tell us what you mean by that?
I can do it in a more impersonal way. If you think people are drawn to somebody because of their intensity and their charisma and their ability to draw attention to themselves, in that sense of beacon, but there's something very intense about him, and you could fall right into a black hole. The light would lead you, and then you'd fall in, because it was very much his world and his way of being that was essential. It's a strong personality. So at that time, I was a young girl, and we were a couple in love. It's a private thing, but yet he was becoming a very public person, and people were drawn to him. And it was could I stay there and be by his side and just smile and become something that just fell into the black hole of what his life was becoming? It was very disorienting for me. I didn't have, being very young, I didn't have many tools in how to cope with it, but I just knew it wasn't for me. I couldn't live that way.
Because the book isn't, it's also about your struggle to be independent of Bob Dylan and not, as you put it, just a string on his guitar.
Yes, that was it. That's how I would feel. And it's funny, in before the language of feminism, where you could, maybe I could have been helped by seeing the situation more clearly, I just felt this horrible rage when people would refer to me as, oh, you're Bob's chick. And I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand being called a chick. And I felt like I wasn't a person. But I had no words for it. It was just this rage and this fury. And I'd say to people, don't you dare call me a chick. But I had nothing to follow that.
One song that you mention in the book that does take you back to that time is What Was It You Wanted? Could you just tell us a bit about that and how that made you feel when you first heard it? Because the first version you heard wasn't Bob Dylan's version, actually, was it?
Right, actually, and that song is written in the 80s, I think, if I'm remembering right. I heard Willie Nelson sing it, and I was listening to this album by Willie Nelson. I heard this song, I said, nobody could have written that but Bob Dylan, and I walked over to the album and looked, and sure enough, he had written it. There was something about that song. It's very funny in a mean kind of way, and he has such an ability to do that. I just thought that's the essence of who he is. It's very funny, but it's kind of mean. To me, of all the songs he wrote, and I don't know all of them, he's written so many, he's such a fine artist, but that one, you know, there are a few that just stand out. It has nothing to do with anyone that I know of, because it was written much later, but I just think that's who he is. Very clever, very funny, and with a good streak of nasty.
Susie Rotolo, many, many thanks for talking to us. A Freewheeling Time, a memoir of Greenwich Village in the 60s by Susie Rotolo, is published by Aurum Press. For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's The Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.